On Thursday, the 5th of December in 2013, Steve and Jackie Connolly left their home and went out for the evening. When they returned home, they found their brick bungalow sinking in the sea. There it is. As you can imagine, they were devastated, as well as homeless and terrified. The next day, the newspaper had a headline, "Gone with the Wind." Three houses in Hemsby in Norfolk sunk in a storm. We're going to call this first parable found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27. Gone with the wind. Number one, it's about tradesmen. Number two, it's about tempests. And number three, it's about truth. This picture is a picture of the Opus Dei. Some of us in this building have seen this church built on the Mount of the Beatitudes. It's situated between Capernaum and Tabgha. And you can see it for yourself. It's the place where they reckon the Lord Jesus Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount. It's in the shape of an octagon to represent eight of the beautiful attitudes which our Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed on this mount there by Galilee. Actually, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, you could read it in 13 minutes. Actually, every Christian that has ever lived would tell you, this is the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived, by the greatest man that ever was. And his method of preaching was to state, illustrate, and apply. And in 13 minutes, you can read chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. Just to show you that the master communicator realized that real preaching is not based on length. It's based on strength. And our Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount is giving one of the strongest, clearest, most dynamic, most transforming sermons that has ever been uttered. At the end of the sermon, he speaks this brief parable. Let's read it. It says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them." Did you notice that? "Hears these words of mine and does them." That was the first part. Now the second part. "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell." and great was the fall of it. Actually, one third of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are taken up with the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 46 parables. Here, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the earthly and uses it to speak to us about the heavenly. Earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Here, he takes the visible to illustrate the invisible. He takes the temporal to illustrate the eternal. He uses vivid illustration in order to have practical, dynamic, transforming application. And as we come to this parable of the wise and foolish builders, all of you are sitting there thinking about the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The foolish man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down, and the floods came up. But Warren Wiersbe said this: the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ are not bedtime stories to send us to sleep. They are trumpet blasts to waken us up. And I want to say to you that this particular parable found at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is not some catchy tune for the children to sing and all of us to join in with actions. Actually, this is a screaming siren and a flashing light declaring a warning and telling us that we must act upon what we hear. So this parable, Gone with the Wind. Number one, it's about tradesmen. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Simple. I want you to meet these two tradesmen. First of all, Mr. Wiseman and sons. Then there will be Mr. Folly and sons. They represent to us two world views. Here's Mr. Wiseman and sons. The sons of Mr. Wiseman are called hearing and doing. I want you to look with me at their business. Their business is called Firm Foundations. Their location for their business is Solid Rock Way, in Granite County, Roxville. He's got a brochure. Open the brochure with me and read what it says. All our houses are built with deep, strong foundations. Got it? Simple. Now here's Mr. Folly and Sons. Mr. Folly's sons are called hearing and ignoring. Hearing, but doing absolutely nothing about what they've heard. Their business is called Houses to Die For. Their location is Shifting Avenue. It's in Looking Good County in Sandylands. And this is what their brochure says. We build beautiful houses in beautiful locations on beautiful beaches with beautiful sunsets for beautiful people. And they represent to us two world views. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ will preach about the kingdom of God. The men and women who are in the kingdom of God are men and women who are subject to the King. The King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one they answer to. He is the one they live for. He is the one they serve. He is the one they worship. And he is the one they obey. And when the Lord Jesus Christ says, live for him and for his kingdom, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. They are the parameters of his kingdom. He is the king. We are the subjects, and we obey him. The second worldview is the worldview which says there is no king. And whatever the supposed king says, I will not obey. I will live for myself. I, me, mine, myself. I will not do what the king commands. I will not go where the king sends. I will not do what the king wants me to do. Not now and not ever. What's more, those sorts of people obviously are in churches up and down the land and throughout the world, because the Lord Jesus Christ is emphasizing the difference between the genuine and the counterfeit, the sheep and the goats, those who are real and those who are phony. And there are people who will hear the Bible being read and explained and sing the Bible in hymns and songs, but will never put their life in line with what the scripture says. Two tradesmen with two worldviews. The tradesmen. Number two, we have the tempest. We know the story. Here's the house built upon the rock. Here's the house built upon the sand. Actually, if you go to Capernaum, and if you look down towards the Sea of Galilee, you'll find that there are some rocks that jut out, and some build upon those rocks, and others build upon the sand. Nothing new. But then what happens is the tempest begins to rage. Now, some of us went on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. It was idyllic. It was so calm. In fact, it was overwhelmingly calm. There were grown men weeping, thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ being in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. But the ship's captains would tell us that very quickly a storm could brew. The wind could whip up. And the skies, which look so beautifully blue, can quickly turn cloudy. And then from cloudy to grey clouds. And then from grey clouds to dark clouds. And then from dark clouds to storm clouds. And the wind can howl and the rain can lash down. And the waves can pound. And you can be put in serious, serious danger. And that's what happens. The tradesmen, they build their house. The tempest comes to test that house. Notice that the tempests come to both those who build upon the rock and those who build upon the sand. Do not believe the false prophet who tells you the coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ means there will be no trouble. No, the Bible says man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. In fact, it is true to say we don't really know about temptation and about trouble until we know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as if all hell is unleashed against us. And even though the world in which we live says, well, why does trouble come into our lives? Why are there earthquakes? Why are there tsunamis? Why are there terrorism about us? Why are people killed? Why do the good die young? Why should that mother die leaving her children? Why? But the fact of the matter is that in this broken, fallen, sinful world, trouble and trauma and tempest and storm comes to both believer and to unbeliever. The tempests come. It is inevitable. Our world is fallen and broken. The whole of creation is fallen. And trouble will break with the dawn. Tempests. Rain, floods, wind, storms. Actually, some of you remember John Lennon, George Harrison, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr. Put up your hand if you actually remember them. Oh, look at that. In February 1968, they went to India for a few weeks. And they sat listening to an Indian guru, Maharishi Yogi. They smoked different types of smoke. They listened. They tried to take in and contemplate and meditate. But then we are told that one day John Lennon decided that he would go in a helicopter with the Maharishi. And John Lennon got into the helicopter and flew. The other three members of the Beatles stayed behind. When he got back, Ringo, George, and Paul said to John, why did you go? Why did you go? He said, I wanted to go up in the air with the Maharishi to see if he had the answer. The answer. The answer to life. The answer to the storms and troubles and heartaches and brokenness of life. The answer to death. The answer to eternity. The answer to God. But I didn't find it. You see, when the tempests come, people all over the world ask the questions, why? Is there a God? Why is this happening? What's going to happen? What is the meaning of life? Why am I here? Where am I going? Is there a heaven? How can I get there? They want to know the answers when the tempests come. Thirdly, we have the truth. And this is the truth, that according to the Sermon on the Mount and according to the words of the Son of God, it's only those on the solid rock of our Lord Jesus Christ who survive the storms. Those who hear the word, those who do the word. Not those who profess to be Christians, but those who practice their faith. I love the story of Robert Ingersoll and Philip Brooks. You've heard of them. Robert Ingersoll was an atheist. And he went around giving talks about the non-existence of God. He'd been an agnostic, but he was sure that God didn't exist. But he had a friend. His friend was called Philip Brooks. Philip Brooks was an evangelist. He read the Bible. He believed the Bible. He received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. He lived for the Lord Jesus Christ day after day after day. However, in the course of time, Robert Ingersoll seemed to soar in his career. And Philip Brooks, what happened to him was he got weaker and weaker. So much so that he was about to have a premature death. A strange thing happened. Lots of Christians in the church wrote to him, "Please can we come and see you, Mr. Brooks? Please can we come and thank you? Please can we come and pray with you? Please can we read the scriptures to you?" His answer was, no. He wouldn't let any other Christian come and see him. But then Robert Ingersoll, his friend, wanted to visit him. He said, "Send him in." And they spent time together talking. Afterwards, "Why did you let this person who's going around doubting God or saying that God doesn't exist, and yet you wouldn't allow believing men and women?" "Well, I know that I will see the face of my brothers and sisters in Christ when I get to heaven. I was not sure that I would ever see the face of Robert Ingersoll. And I wanted to see him, and I wanted to talk to him, and I wanted to tell him, no matter what storm comes to my life, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." Some of you read in the magazine a few weeks ago about Edward Mote. He was raised in a pub in London. He was a cabinet maker working with his hands. But one day, he had an experience of coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, placing his trust, placing his confidence in Christ, and then living an obedient life. And he wrote this magnificent hymn: "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to veil his face, I'll rest on his unchanging grace. When all around my soul gives way, he then will be my hope and stay. His oath, his covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood." What a testimony. "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Here's the great truth. The great truth of the parable at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is the truth that ultimately, when all is said and done, only the life that is built on Christ, living for Christ, obedient to Christ, is going to last the storm. The storm of life, the storm of death, the storm of judgment. For Christ himself has become our curse, has taken our storm, has borne our judgment. What great truth is that? Don't be gone with the wind. Build your house upon the rock of ages. Let's stand and sing.